Former President Obama rips Democrats for their defund the police slogan, and Ilhan Omar and the squad, they take to Twitter to respond. Are they starting to eat their own? And journalist James O'Keefe revealed that he was secretly recording CNN's daily calls, and now CNN is threatening legal action. And New York City's autonomous zone bar owner, he was just arrested for defying lockdown restrictions. We've got all that and so much more coming up, and it starts right now. Hello there. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. I'm Hillary Kennedy, filling in for Sarah Gonzalez while she's out on maternity leave. Boy, there is so much going on today. You know it's going to be a fire show when we're talking about former President Obama, defund the police. So I had to bring in the big guns for the show, starting with Chad Prather, host of the Chad Prather Show here on Blaze TV.
I love being a big gun.
I'm going to have to be so careful with everything I say with the two of you here at the table today. And also Jason Buttrell, the head writer and researcher for Glenn Beck. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right, so like I said, we're going to start off talking about Obama just ripping Democrats for their defund the police push that they've had going on all year. So he basically said Democrats lost votes in the election because some of the party did voice support for defunding the police. He did an interview with a Vanity Fair contributor named Peter Hamby for his podcast called Good Luck America. And Hamby asked him, you know, if you're a young activist today and you're really passionate in a slogan like defund the police, what's your advice to that activist? Knowing a lot of politicians won't go near that phrase. So Obama said, if you believe, as I do, that we should be able to reform the criminal justice system so that it's not biased and treats everybody fairly, I guess you could use a snappy slogan like defund the police. But, you know, you lost a big audience the minute you say it, which makes it a lot less likely that you're actually going to get the changes that you want done. He went on to say, but if you say instead, hey, you know what, let's reform the police department so that everybody's being treated fairly and not just in policing, but in sentencing. How can we divert young people from getting into crime? On and on and on. He was like, you suddenly get a whole bunch of folks who might not otherwise listen to you, listening to you. So, first of all, what do you think of his statements? And then we'll get into how some of the progressives responded.
Barack Obama never gave a rat's ass about the police, ever. I mean, he never cared about law enforcement. So that's political posturing all and of itself, right? Just saying that. All my liberal friends, and yeah, I got some, they've all come out and said, look, we come up with some decent ideas, but we're bad at branding sometimes. And I think in essence, that's what he's trying to say. But for Barack Obama to say much of anything in supportive of institutions such as police departments is empty words and rhetoric because he never supported them.
Yeah.
You're right on the money. Black Lives Matter started under the Trump administration, right? No, it didn't. It started under the Obama administration.
That's right.
They did not give a crap about reforming the police, which in itself is bullcrap. In fact, it took a member of his cabinet, Van Jones, to reach out to the Trump administration because they were the only ones that even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Van Jones had to go to Trump to try and get it done. Donald Trump was the one that did anything at all to reforming the criminal justice system. He's the only one, and they still won't give him credit for it. So it's completely political posturing. They ride the winds of change. If they think that they're going to make any kind of position on it or leverage, that's the wind they ride. It's the same thing they did with gay marriage. They were all against it. All of a sudden, they were for it when they like looked at the polls and said, hey, I think we should support this. Same with this.
So I'm curious to know what you think how he would have handled it had he been in office when this whole defund the police movement happened.
That's a good question, actually. You know, you have the moderate left, you have the progressive left. Barack Obama tends to be caught somewhere in the middle of that, although I think he leans more towards the moderate left. I would like to say that he would have spoken out, but to Jason's point, spoken out against it, but to Jason's point, these guys will run with any dog that'll hunt. And if they see support behind something, then they're going to throw the backing right there, or else they're afraid they're going to. Barack Obama has nothing to lose at this point, right? Mm-hmm. He's the Messiah. He is the chosen one. Doesn't matter what he says. So he can come out and it's almost like he's scolding the children in the camp. But he's finding out today that the camp isn't real keen on his scolding.
Yeah, and what's interesting is he's clearly criticizing the AOCs, the squad type, you know, people out there that really ran with this, and Black Lives Matter. But this is, I'm going to kind of go back to my roots in counterterrorism here. So the modern, the left right now. You've got what they call as the establishment. Then you have like the more further left, the more vocal. I'm going to call them ISIS. They're the more vocal. People like Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Pelosi, all of them, they're Al-Qaeda. I'm not saying they're terrorists going on killing people, but that's just how I'm going to do this little analogy. Mm-hmm. Now, Al-Qaeda was pissed off at ISIS for doing everything too soon and mm-hmm. being way too graphic with it. They both believed the same thing. They both right. wanted the same thing. But Al-Qaeda was like, easy, you're not supposed to say that right now. You're not supposed to do it right now. Wait a little bit while we prepare everything. Then you can go out and do your caliphate. That's the modern left today. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them believes with AOC. There's a couple of people that don't, you know, a couple of Democrats are in the middle. But your Barack Obama, he's a Marxist. He was trained by Marxists. They, you know, Weather mm-hmm. Underground, they love these people. Bill Ayers. They are Marxists. And the only thing that they disagree with is how to get the country that direction. AOC, ISIS, they want to do it right now. Mm-hmm. They think the country's ready for it. They want to do it right now. The only reason Obama is saying this is because they're playing the Al-Qaeda part. He's saying,
"That's right.
Not now. Right. Be quiet. Keep this on the down low. We'll get there. Trust us." Because I think in that same, when he was criticizing them, in this very same paragraph, he also said, "Hey, they should have given AOC more time at the DNC to talk. They only gave her 2 minutes." Why would he say that if he doesn't believe with what she's slinging? He believes everything. He just wants her to shut the heck up so they can get there eventually.
I think you're right. And it's interesting to see which progressives kind of fired back at him and said, you know, hold on a second. Ilhan Omar, as you can expect, had something to say on Twitter. She said, "We lose people in the hands of police. It's not a slogan, but a policy demand. And centering the demand for equitable investments and budgets for communities across the country gets us progress and safety." And then Ayanna Pressley, also a member of the squad, she said, "The murders of generations of unarmed black folks by police have been horrific. Lives are at stake daily, so I'm out of patience with critiques of the language of activists. Whatever a grieving family says is their truth, and I'll never stop fighting for their justice and healing." And then Representative-elect Cori Bush, also a Democrat, echoed that sentiment, saying, "With all due respect, Mr. President, let's talk about losing people. We lost Michael Brown Jr. We lost Breonna Taylor. We're losing our loved ones to police violence. It's not a slogan. It's a mandate for keeping our people alive. Defund the police." Mm-hmm. Does it freak either of you out that Obama's not even progressive enough for them? I mean, these are scary times.
Jason's right. The way I would put it is, you know, if you have younger people have, you know, your kid goes off to college and they come home and they know everything, right? They know more than you because suddenly they've experienced the world and they sat under the tutelage of some professor who's never tested his theories outside of the academic bubble for 30 years. And they come home and they're laser focused with their passions, right? And the parents sit back with a little bit broader vision and say, okay, let's temper this a little bit. So we're seeing the laser vision of the squad and Cori Bush and all of these. And you can almost see them get together with a PR person and say, okay, what's our verbiage going to be? How are we going to come out against this? Because let's face it, this is the Messiah. This is Barack Obama. But the problem is, these people don't live in a worldview where messiahs exist, and they're going to find out the long arm of his power if they don't shut up, because they still can get scolded pretty badly. The grand scheme of things, what they need to defund is whoever that damn photographer was that took the picture of Barack Obama and posted that on the cover of Vanity Fair with a sissy lip smirk looking down at everybody, because that tells you everything you need to know about Barack Obama. Barry. But these guys, it is a little bit scary. It's scary that he's not progressive enough because he does have the same vision of turning us into that, quote, Marxist utopia that will never be a thing, where we run around like little mini George Clooney's in our gated communities and we bark down as elites towards those underlings that need to be serving us.
Barack Obama is absolutely, I'm just going to use the word amazing to me at this point. Not in the that I admire him, but it's just so crazy how I can't remember a past president that's acting the way he's acting.
Yeah.
He never went away. He was the first president not to move out of D.C. Mm-hmm. He just bought a house right there, just a bike ride away from the White House. Mm-hmm. And then he started up like his organization. Was it Obama for America? He changed it to Organizing for Action for just to fight Trump. Now think about that. The outgoing president formed an organization just to fight the person that succeeded him. That right there is just unprecedented. And now it's almost every single day he's giving an interview, writing a new memoir. How many memoirs is he going to write, for crying out loud?
A lot of autobiographies.
Good God, man. Shut up.
Right. Take
this
a vacation.
It's so ridiculous. But yeah, like, and he's constantly giving interviews, talking about the shape or the direction of the company. When has a Republican president ever done that? Like, typically, our guy goes off to his ranch. And if he's interviewed, it's just about how the cattle are doing that year, pretty much. That's about it. Or tell me a cool little story from That's It. And we know when you talk to the kindergarten, you know, teacher, that's it. This is they talk about never, you know, refusing to, you know, like Trump's refusing to concede, you know, claiming that Biden's, they think that absolutely, they thought that every Republican president that's been elected has been illegitimate. And they pledged to fight him nonstop. The moment when this one said, hey, I'm going to take a little bit and investigate everything, oh my God, then it's all this fury. Right. I'm just so sick of this crap.
Out. Well, while we're talking about defunding the police, the Minneapolis City Council, they're making another effort to defund the Minneapolis Police Department, but carjackings have skyrocketed in Minneapolis, some of them involving drivers accosted at gunpoint. So carjackings were so rare that they weren't even tracked as a separate issue by the MPD until September the 22nd. Prior to that, they were lumped together with robberies and with auto theft. But after the carjackings grew in number over the summer, they implemented a new coding system. This is how bad it's gotten. I mean, it's shot up. I believe it was, I'm looking for the exact number. It shot up like 500%. I mean, something ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So three members of the Minneapolis City Council, all of whom supported a drastic plan to defund and disable the city's police department following the death of George Floyd, they're offering a follow-up solution that involves slashing the police budget and drastically cutting the number of officers. What in the world is going on?
You know, you turn the lights off and the cockroaches come out. So what they're proposing is we make it darker in the room.
Right.
That's what's, I mean, it's just that simple. You can't just turn people loose to their own devices and say there's no ramifications for your actions.
Is Minneapolis ever going to be able to recover from this if they just keep on damaging their police department? I mean, they've had horrible riots, and at least carjackings are out of control.
Absolutely not. But this is the left's way. You know, they'll do a policy that clearly does not work, and when it doesn't work, then they don't say, hey, okay, let's take a step back and reflect and see what we did wrong. No, it's to double down on the bad policy.
Mm-hmm.
Obamacare caused premiums to skyrocket. It's Obamacare that did it. But now they claim it's something else when it's their system that's causing healthcare to suck right now. What's their solution? More Obamacare.
Let's do more. Mm-hmm.
Let's get more of it.
Let's call it Biden care.
Yeah, like the Iran deal didn't work. So now Biden said he wants to, as soon as they got rid of the Iran deal, peace, crazily enough, started breaking out all over the Middle East. A plan that they said could never happen. Trump got it done.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're like, okay, no, let's not do that. Let's get even more of the Iran deal. Maybe more of the Iran deal will work.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. And now it's like we defunded the police a little bit. Okay, that's not working. Carjackings are skyrocketing over 500%. Let's take even less money. It's literally, it's psychotic. And I cannot believe how people, like, I've got liberal friends too. Most of them are in the center. But I cannot believe how you'd still continue to vote for stuff that doesn't work. It boggles my mind.
There's only one conclusion that you can draw from that. They want to see the entire system corrupted and fail. That's it. Anarchy reigns supreme. When they do that, it just gives more power to the people who are in power.
Yeah.
Then they become little dictators.
And to your point, who brought up the entire defund the police thing? Who started it?
Mm-hmm.
Trained Marxists and Black Lives Matter.
Right. Yeah. Who we haven't heard from since November 4th.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah. How did that happen? All right. So we do have more to come. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Omega XL, whether it's back or knees or neck or your shoulder pain. The underlying cause, it's likely inflammation. You have to defeat inflammation or it can cause permanent damage. So backed by 35 years of clinical research, Omega XL attacks the inflammation that's causing your pain. It is brilliant because pain relievers and topical rubs, they just mask the problem. Omega XL neutralizes the inflammation that causes the painful stiff joints and muscles. There was even a doctor that said, with my prescription pad, I can't write anything that comes close to doing what Omega XL does. So if you're suffering with aches and pains and stiffness, you need to try Omega XL. So let's get you started. Order Omega XL now, and you'll get a second bottle for free. Visit OmegaXL.com/news. That's OmegaXL.com/news. Or you can call 800-844-4888. That's 800-844-4888. We'll be back in just a minute. President Trump is still out there trying to fight big tech for us. Now, he tweeted late yesterday that he will veto the National Defense Authorization Act unless Congress repeals Section 230 of the 1996 Communications Decency Act, which critics say unfairly shields social media platforms from liability over the items posted on their platforms. So Section 230, if you haven't been following this at all, it basically shields big tech from being liable. Trump said it's very dangerous and unfair that Section 230 is not completely terminated as part of the National Defense Authorization Act. I will be forced to unequivocally veto the bill when sent to the very beautiful Resolute Desk. Take back America now. Thank you. I mean, he's saying this is a security threat. So Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey, the CEOs of Facebook and Twitter, they've talked about the law in front of the Senate Commerce Committee back in October. They're saying, you know, it protects internet speech. If you remove it, you're removing free speech from the internet. Zuckerberg suggested Congress just update the law to make sure that it's working as intended. We don't have a lot of time for him to work on this, you know, before everything kind of closes down for the holidays. But do you think that Section 230 is going to be taken out of the National Defense Authorization Act, or you think Trump's going to have to veto it?
No, I don't think it. It definitely won't get taken out, because right now the government has a very, very smooth relationship with big tech through Section 230. It's no surprise how every time you have, you know, a Biden presidency or staff that work for Hillary Clinton, as soon as they go out of office, they go straight to big tech and they take up big positions there. There's a very, very, you know, lucrative relationship between the American left and politics and Silicon Valley. And we're seeing they're reaping the rewards right now. We're seeing it right now. You can barely post anything if you're a conservative commentator on any social media. You can barely do it. And if you do, you'll get the little disclaimer at the bottom. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I'm surprised Zuckerberg even went as far as he did with saying, hey, we should at least, you know, look into modifying it, which is kind of what I think Clarence Thomas was saying. That the Supreme Court should look at some of these cases differently. So basically, right now, big tech, when Section 230 was done, they recognized that, hey, there's a lot of companies that won't be able to do anything because they'll constantly be getting sued from crazy people posting on their platforms. Mm-hmm. So they gave them these protections, but they did it with the assumption that they were going to be, you know, they were going to be fair, that they were going to be equal on, you know, both political sides, that they wouldn't take a side. Mm-hmm. Well, they were wrong. As pretty much the government is on everything. They were wrong. At this point, I say get it the hell out. That's what I say. I see that it will be detrimental to these companies right now until they figure it out. But guess what? They're multi-billion-dollar companies. You better believe they're going to figure it out. They're going to figure it out fast once they get smacked with about 100 lawsuits on day one. Let them fend for themselves. They've got all this, you know, intelligence and all this technology. They can figure. If anyone can figure it out, they can. I'm sorry, you're on your own. You made this bed, sleep in it. So I applaud President Trump for doing this. I'm not sure how far it's going to go, but something has to happen.
Yeah. I'm in Facebook jail right now.
Are you really?
Yeah. I mean, and I, you know, the executives here at Blaze have actually talked to us and said, look, got to be careful with some of the, you know, the teaser clips of my show that we put on social media, because everything's taken out of context and they're flagging it. And, you know, every page I've got has some form of a warning on it, you know, in the inner admin aspect of it, because, you know, this might be blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on. So, yeah, I wish they would. Will they? I don't think so, but I wish they would. This is a bad situation for a lot of people.
And this is supposed to be done in our name. They're like, these social media companies are like, well, we're protecting the rest of the public. We're not dummies.
Yeah.
We're not babies.
Yeah.
We can decide what we want to read or whether we want to believe it or
it's,
not.
It's the big tech version of a mask mandate is what it is.
Yeah.
We're protecting you from you.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff, too, I just don't, there's not a lot of rhyme or reason to some of the things that they flag, too. I mean, months ago when all the riots were going on, I posted something on Instagram that was a photo of people holding hands and praying outside of where one of these riots
were going on. That's controversial.
They flagged it, and they censored it. And I was so shocked, because I was like, it's just a picture of people praying. I don't understand. I didn't write any commentary. I didn't have, you know, any comments on it. It was just a repost of a photo.
You seriously need to spend some time with yourself thinking about what you did.
Wasn't that horrible? I'm just ruining young minds everywhere.
God, Hillary.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about ABC, CBS, NBC evening newscasts. They all completely ignored Attorney General Barr appointing John Durham as special counsel to continue the investigation into the Russia probe origins. So the letter was dated December 1st, so it was this week. General Barr informed the House and Senate Judiciary Committees he'd appointed U.S. Attorney John Durham to continue to investigate, even though a new administration may begin. Now, Fox News reported the networks did include the news that Barr told the Associated Press that Justice Department investigators hadn't found enough evidence of voter fraud to overturn the results of the 2020 election. So all of those evening news broadcasts mentioned that, but they left everything out about him appointing Durham. So first of all, what do you know? You follow all of this so closely, Jason. What are your thoughts on him appointing John Durham?
Well, so remember when they appointed Mueller for that, for, you know, the Russia collusion, you know, investigation, everyone went crazy over it. Instantly, when he was named special counsel, that meant to every single media outlet that Trump was guilty. That's what they ran with. They wouldn't print any other news except for leaks that were lies, the Steele dossier, which were lies. They already made up their mind that Donald Trump and his campaign were guilty. And it was merely based off of the appointment of a special counsel. This is the exact same thing with the exact same ramifications and silence. Crickets on them. It shows you, it's so ridiculous. You know, they criticized Donald Trump nonstop for 4 years. He was constantly under attack. You can see it's so hilarious. We're all seeing, even starting now, that they're completely doing a 180. Everything the Biden campaign's going to do is going to be roses. It's going to be perfect.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
not going to criticize him at all on anything.
It's going to be the same MO as they used with Barack Obama. They could not allow Barack Obama to fail. This is going to be the same with Biden. You can't let an old man with dementia who doesn't even know how to play with his dog properly without having to go to the hospital. You can't let him fail. Probably wasn't playing with his dog. He probably fell and broke his foot, and thank God it wasn't his hip. That's coming. They had to spin it, right? But the news is garbage. The mainstream news is garbage. ABC, he tells us exclusively that his two German shepherds, Major and Champ, will be joined by a cat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an exclusive
news.
In breaking news, they want to talk about the color of his socks. This morning, Fox News, which is also garbage, at this point, they're all garbage. They're all garbage except for Blaze TV. I don't care what you say, because I don't know where the rest of these fools are going. I know you guys are jumping on these other independent news things right there. God bless them. I hope they stay the course. I know Blaze TV is, because we have. And we're going to continue giving straightforward news analysis and opinion, and that's what we're going to do. But I will tell you this. This morning, Fox News spent 15 minutes talking about this topic right here. A journalist asked Joe Biden the question, how's your foot? They even brought in a contributor to talk about a journalist who asked Joe Biden, how's your foot? That's not news. That's not news. This is news. The ammunition that the left used for 4 years was, well, there's never been a president who's had a special counsel appointed in order to investigate his election. Well, now there's two. And one of them is Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And you're right. They don't want to talk about
and
that.
And to answer your question this is significant. That means that no matter if Biden ends up being the winner of the election, then this investigation will continue on.
Mm-hmm.
And they freaked out. Holy hell. When Mueller started getting some things that were basically big nothing burgers, like, oh, we caught this guy in a little white lie. So they had him plea bargain or something like that. Or what's the guy that ran his campaign for a while? It was in Ukraine. I can't remember his name, that they got for tax evasion out in Ukraine. stuff like that, stuff that had nothing to do with Russia collusion, but he was going off in any direction he could just to give the appearance of what they wanted to find, the guilt that they wanted to find. Let's not forget, the Durham investigation has already got one body bag on this. They already nailed an FBI, was a lawyer for the FBI, for altering an email to make it appear that Carter Page was guilty. Oh. Altering evidence. Like, if this was a movie, this would be a huge, like, oh my gosh.
Right.
He altered evidence. You know, like, throw him in jail. He was found guilty. He pled guilty. He's like, yeah, I did it. You know? That's number one. Imagine how many more there're going to be. Media won't comment on any of this.
Won't cover it. So frustrating. All right, so we have a whole lot more to get to, but first we want to thank our sponsor, Tommy John.
Oh,
now,
boy.
This year has been pretty uncomfortable almost everywhere, but as long as you're wearing Tommy John underwear, Chad can attest to this, there's going to be one place you can count on being comfortable, and that is in your pants. Am I right?
Yeah, you are.
Am I right? All right. You can shop their extended Cyber Monday sale right now. You can give the gift of comfort to everybody on your list. Why, and to yourself, with Tommy John men's and women's loungewear. You can say goodbye to those old stained sweatpants that everybody's telling you to get rid of. Tommy John loungewear, it's luxuriously, it's soft, it's guaranteed to fit perfectly with the same level of comfort and innovation that goes into everything that Tommy John makes. Plus, Tommy John's loungewear, pajamas, and underwear come in limited edition sets that are perfect for gifting, but hey, they sell out really quickly. And Tommy John's customer favorite, the hammock pouch underwear.
Asterisk at the bottom of this ad says, the reason Hillary Kennedy is asking me about it is because I wear the hammock pouch.
I knew he could give a testimony because he has worn them and gives them the two thumbs up.
Fantastic.
You want to order them now because last time they sold out in 6 days, so you want to order soon. There is no risk with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. So shop Tommy John's extended Cyber Monday sale now to make sure that your gifts arrive by the holidays. So go to TommyJohn.com/Y for 20% off site-wide. Get 20% off for a limited time only at TommyJohn.com/Y. That's TommyJohn.com/Y. You can see the site for details. We'll be back in just a minute.
Yeah.
Well, CNN is not having a very good week, thanks to journalist James O'Keefe. So CNN's actually threatening legal action against James O'Keefe with Project Veritas after O'Keefe crashed CNN's daily call with the company head, Jeff Zucker, and announced that he had months of their recordings from their calls that he was going to be releasing, and we have a clip.
Washington. You're unmuted.
Hey, Jeff Zucker, are you there? Hey,
yes.
This is James O'Keefe. We've been listening to your CNN calls for basically 2 months, recording everything. Just wanted to ask you some questions if you have a minute. Do you still feel you're the most trusted name in news? Because I have to say, from what I've been hearing on these phone calls, I don't know about that. I mean, we got a lot of recordings that indicate you're not really that independent of a journalist.
Okay. Your comments. So everybody, in light of that, I think what we'll do is we'll set up a new system, and we'll be back with you. We'll do the rest of the call a little bit later.
We're going to release those recordings today at 7 o'clock, so stay tuned. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
All right, so just to... it's like deliciously awkward there, where Zucker doesn't really know what to do. Some of the things that Zucker can be heard allegedly saying on these calls. One thing on September 8th, he said, each of these so-called scandals for Trump, each of these things, we should just once again be careful to say that this is the one that's going to undo him with his voters. On November 17th, he said, frankly, if we've made any mistake, it's been our banners have been too polite and we need to go well after Lindsey Graham. There's a lot of news out there and Lindsey Graham really deserves it. He had some things to say after Trump was diagnosed with COVID-19. He said, I want to reemphasize that I think we cannot normalize what's happened here in the last week with Trump and his behavior. I mean, he just goes on and on and on saying, you know, Trump's all over the place acting erratically. I think we need to lean into that. Really bizarre. The president's oldest son, Donald Trump Jr., responded to CNN's communications team saying, it's amazing that CNN had no problem aggressively running with secretly recorded audio tapes of the First Lady nonstop for weeks, but has a serious problem when someone does the exact same thing to them. If it wasn't for double standards, they would have no standards at all. What do you think about the remarks that Jeff Zucker made during those calls?
So it's interesting. There's nothing wrong with what he said whatsoever. News networks can be biased. Every single one is. The problem with CNN, and here's the flip side of what I just said, is they have sold themselves as being the ones that are not MSNBC or not Fox News. They're the ones that just tell the news. Now, that's why this is significant. It'd be more significant if it was over 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But at this point, everyone knows. So everyone probably listening to this podcast or watching this show right now already knew these things. We know that they're biased. Where this is even more significant is if you can show this to people that think that there is no bias at CNN. Really, the only people that think that are the ones that are on the left that just agree with everything they say right now. They never disagree with CNN because CNN is biased towards the left. They become MSNBC. So if you're looking for that just straight down the middle, I got some bad news. You have no network to watch. Mm-hmm. You really don't. There's no network now that's completely down the middle. That ship has sailed for me on CNN. They're busted. Everyone pretty much knows it, unless you're on the left. You can use something like this to make your point. Look, this is what I've been telling you. They probably won't believe you anyway, because now they're sitting in their camp. It's even worse in my mind when you have media outlets like NPR that get funding for crying out loud, and they're just as bad. I guarantee you, NPR has the same company calls probably weekly that sound exactly the same as that right there.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, I told you they're all garbage. I mean, what else can I say? But it's a moot point, because those on the right already knew CNN was biased like that. Those on the left love that they're biased like that. It's vice versa when you take Fox or whatever, or however they lean these days. Who knows?
Really? I mean, really. I don't really know how to take Fox at this point. I don't know.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know where to turn. That's why we're glad you're here listening to us.
The Blaze and maybe local news.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, the New York Times editor was just lampooned after claiming the paper's going to cover Biden just as thoroughly as Trump.
Oh, get off.
Socks, dogs, cats.
I mean, he said, core to the New York Times mission, we will scrutinize the incoming administration just as thoroughly as we did the outgoing one. It was mocked by quite a few people on Twitter, and the satirical publication, the Babylon Bee, I love them, they offered him a gig. Like, hey, come work for us. Do you think that the left is really able to still believe that they're unbiased, that they're going to be covering Biden just as, you know, as well as they covered Trump? Come on.
No. I mean, of course, they're absolutely. I mean, they're still the party of love and tolerance, right? I mean, they're just those people who just really want us all to, you know, extend the olive branch and find unity with one another. And we're just going to be fair in our investigations. And the DOJ and the FBI and the CIA are all nonpartisan. And I've got some beachfront property in Arizona I'd love to sell you.
Yeah. Just look at any of the things that Trump was successful on that the media didn't cover. And then imagine how the New York Times would cover it if it wasn't Trump that did it, but Biden did it.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if all of a sudden he did a peace deal with Israel and almost every Gulf nation in the Middle East, and they were all jumping on. It was a snowball effect. How would they respond?
Just wait. You mentioned Melania, or Donald Trump Jr. mentioned Melania. Okay. She should have been on the cover of every magazine for 4 years that there was. Wait and see how they treat Joe Biden.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, she looks like she should be a band member of Poison. But just watch and see where they... Somebody told me the other day, they're like, you need to attack issues and stop attacking people. Well, you know what? Issues never threatened to put me on a list. So I'm going to keep attacking who the hell I want to attack. And she looks like CeCe DeVille. So you wait and see. They'll paint her up as the most beautiful first lady, you know, since Jackie Kennedy.
Yeah.
Watch and see.
Oh, absolutely. Melania should have been on every single fashion magazine in the world, but they were all terrified to cover her.
Yeah.
She was gorgeous, you know, and the clothes she wore, like, that's all you would hear about.
She's stunning. Oh.
She's almost like Hillary.
Well, I'm sure you don't mean Clinton, so I'm going to take that as a compliment.
I can't look at you, Jesus, wouldn't smile upon
it. We only have one minute, but I do want to say this. Sarah Silverman, she was doing a podcast interview, and she said, you know, we're liberal, so we can say anything. So we can say, you know, the words that are unsayable or whatever. You know, I don't mean it, so I can say it. There is kind of a liberal, like, douchiness about it, I think, in retrospect. So she was kind of saying, as a comedian, she was really able to get away with a lot of things, including doing blackface on her show, the Sarah Silverman show, back in 2007, and really she didn't face a ton of repercussions. But she's saying, you know, as a liberal comedian, she can get away with so much more than maybe, say, somebody on the right could. You do a lot of comedy, Chad. That's your whole thing.
I say what I want to say. I say what I feel. I say what I think. I don't apologize for it, and I'm going to make fun of everybody. I want to make fun of whatever I want to make fun of. I want to point it out. And you know, the right can get away with it, too. The problem is we just care too much. We care too much. You don't see people on the right holding up severed heads of Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. You don't see those kind of things happening. You see that on the left, and they do get away with it because look at James Comey. James Comey's going to get a teaching gig at what, Columbia University now? This guy's a joke. He's a clown.
I saw in that interview, she said that the reason that she can get away with it and liberals can get away with it because they say it, but they don't really mean it. Yeah. When someone on the right says it, oh, it's because they really mean it.
Right, and all of a sudden we're the racists.
Absolutely and, ridiculous. Yeah. I worked in that industry with almost every single one of them. Not only do they mean it.
They mean it.
Times a million. They are the worst people ever. Absolutely the worst.
I sat at ABC pitching a sitcom that we had written. We sat across from the executives at ABC, reached across and took my hand, and she said, "You don't take Ambien, do you?" It was a direct shot at Roseanne Barr and her excuse for why she tweeted out the thing she did about Valerie Jarrett. That right there shows your bias, and it shows what you think about conservatives, knowing that I am. Are you on Ambien? Kiss my ass.
Okay. On that note, we're going to go to break, and then I'm going to get more interesting stories out of Chad about that stuff. We'll be right back. So tell me. I want all the tea on everybody in Hollywood.
First question I'll get to.
Max Public House, it's that bar in New York that declared itself an autonomous zone so that they didn't have to abide by Governor Cuomo's restrictions. The New York City Sheriff's Department raided it last night. They shut down the business, and then they arrested one of the owners because they wouldn't abide by the regulations for the coronavirus lockdown measures. So the bar, it's inside an orange zone, which under health guidelines means it's limited to offering outdoor dining and takeout and delivery services only. So they declared themselves an autonomous zone and said, hey, everything's free. We're just asking that people make a donation. And they basically, once their liquor license was revoked, they told Cuomo, like, come and get it. And they called de Blasio de Bozo. They said, you know, hey, de Bozo, come down here and you take it off our wall. Well, the owner got arrested. The New York Post added his last name is Presti. He's expected to be released from the sheriff's office with a desk appearance ticket. It's still really unclear what charges he faces. The order they were given simply says they need to cease and desist. Nowhere there was an arrest warrant. There was nothing about arresting anyone on their own private property. It's a really confusing situation, but what are your thoughts on the sheriff's department raiding this bar in the first place?
You start making up mandates, you can make up laws, you can make up all kinds of things, charges. And then we're starting to see that. This is where I start to see, we talked about defund the police at the beginning of the show. This is where I start to see people being, they really are violating what that badge stands for because it's a place of authority. When you start abusing that authority, you start to get on some dangerous ground. And so, you know, good for the owners of Max for standing up for themselves and doing what they did. Good for them. I know that there's calls for protests in the streets in defense of them. They're calling for thousands of people to be out front of Max, you know, this afternoon. I hope people show up. And this is one of those things where if I were anywhere nearby, I'd be there. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the kind of thing. This is where patriots have the opportunity to stand up for their freedoms.
Why was it okay for us to have an autonomous zone in Seattle? That was perfectly fine. But then when, you know, Max Public House decides to do it, it's not okay.
Right. So this reminds me of the Seattle Seahawks during the Legion of Boom era. When they were actually able, they actually changed laws because the Legion of Boom, their defensive backs were like, hey, if we all just foul the crap out of the other guy and hold him, they can't possibly come after us all. They won't be able to do it. So just be as rough as you want. Every single business owner, if you're not opening your business right now, then you're partially to blame. Yeah. If you're looking at, oh, that's so sad, I don't want to hear any of that. They don't want to hear that. They want to see you open your damn doors. If you're in a situation like this, anywhere in the country, these lockdowns, the Chamber of Commerce, you need to be scheduling mm-hmm. meetings. Everyone needs to get together and say, we're opening up shop. We're opening mm-hmm. up business. They cannot come after you all. That has got to be the mentality for the entire country right now, especially as if Biden starts locking down, you got to say no. Mm-hmm. The left would do it. They would say they would come out in crazy numbers, only they would get violent. We're not going to get violent, but we can open up our businesses, quietly open our business, try to shut us all down. They cannot do it. Try to make us all wear masks. They can't do it. They don't even have enough enforcement to do it, and I don't think the majority of law enforcement would even do it. And also, I hate to say this, but shame on those cops that went in there and did this. This is the point where you should have stood your ground and said no. This was not a sheriff's department, right? Does it say in there if it was a sheriff's department or a police department?
It was the New York City Sheriff's Department.
It was the sheriff's department. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's another point. It is vital on who you elect sheriff. Mm-hmm. Thank God Tarrant County's got a badass. We would never have to worry about that here. Mm-hmm. But your sheriff is very, very important. He would shut this down. They would not enforce this, guaranteed. Mm-hmm. But it's our fault. Guys, at this point, it's our fault. If we allow this thing to happen to our neighbors and our businesses and our communities, it's right. Our fault now.
Well, piggybacking on what you said, a recent study found that 800 small businesses a day are closing across the country. Yeah. Congress, meanwhile, is focusing on legalizing marijuana. And who can own big cats? Tiger ownership. I mean, truly.
Maybe that's the cat the Bidens are bringing to the White House. Apex predator.
Maybe so. They're taking up several bills under suspension of the rules, including a bill to ban breeding and private ownership of big cats that was featured in the infamous Netflix show Tiger King. So this is what they're focusing on instead of how to save these small businesses. It's mind-blowing to me what their priorities are.
Okay, so this goes back to my whole complaint and rant on Hollywood. Like, the things that they advocate for, like mass immigration and all that stuff, it looks good because you're not telling the other side's point of view on why that might not be a good thing. But you look like the compassionate one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't affect them. It doesn't affect the people that live in Bel Air or the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah.
It has no bearing on them whatsoever. Now, if you're a ranch owner or you live on the border, it's got a lot of effect on you. Or some of these small towns, we know all these small Texas towns, they've probably got one industry. And that's keeping the entire thing afloat. It depends on people that live in that community working those jobs.
Right.
Mass immigration comes in. I'm sorry if this sounds callous, but if they come in and start competing for and driving down the wages of those jobs, that kills the community. These things have to be looked at like that. But, I mean, it's just insane. Like, the people advocating for these things, big cats, marijuana, I guarantee the people that are doing it, none of the other things that matter, like businesses closing, doesn't affect them at all.
Right.
They don't care.
I love what you said. Everybody open up shop. Yeah. We want to shop. We've got money to spend.
Let's get high. Play with your tiger.
I didn't say that. He did.
What could go wrong?
We'll be right back.
Do it. Come in, catty, 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 catty. Come on, catty.
We asked you yesterday, who will be president in 50 days, Donald Trump, Kamala Harris, or Joe Biden? 67.9% of you said Donald Trump. Now, before I get to today's question, I'm going to give you a little backstory. Earlier this month, Harry Styles, remember him from One Direction, he became the first man to land a Vogue magazine cover, and he did it wearing gowns, skirts, dresses. Now, Candace Owens, she tweeted, "Bring back manly men." So he posted another picture in response to her tweet of him wearing this powder blue dress outfit thing, eating a banana.
Seems like something you'd wear.
And yeah, it does look like something I would wear.
Yeah.
And Candace Owens tweeted back, "When people try to tell me I don't have influence, and then Harry Styles dedicates an entire post to my tweet, hashtag bring back manly men." And she says, "I inspire global conversation." So today's poll question is, do you think we should bring back manly men, or do you think we should dress more like Harry Styles?
I don't think there's a woman alive, not a real woman, who looks at a person sucking on a banana while wearing a blouse and says, that's my guy. I don't think anybody does that. I mean, I do live venues all across the country with thousands and thousands of people on a weekly basis, and nobody comes in there and says, you know what? Harry Styles is my dude.
Jason, what are your thoughts?
I don't even know how to answer this. I mean, yeah.
I mean, let me take it back to my former days, my roots as a redneck. I'm sitting in here in a cowboy hat and a hoodie. I hadn't bathed in 3 days. Come here, girls.
Is that what that smell is?
Yeah. That's man is what that is.
No, I agree. I was just having this conversation with Mark, our director, before. I was like, he had millions of women that were just in love with him, and now so many of them are like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think anymore. I don't know if I'm attracted to him or not. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, there's always Elliot Page, Now that Ellen Page has come out as transgender.
Gosh, yes.
Right.
Yeah. Y'all can go for that. That's a manly man.
I say bring back manly men. All right, so Chad, if people want to watch your show, know more about you, where can they go?
WatchChad.com is where all the fun stuff is. You can even get a direct link to the Chad Prather Show here on Blaze TV.
Wonderful. And then Jason, Twitter handle?
At Jason Buttrell.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for being here. It was fun, embarrassing, all the good stuff.
It's fun making a redhead blush.
Thanks for listening to the News and Why It Matters. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to watch the program, become a Blaze TV subscriber and start your free trial now at blazetv.com.